Hey, hit me!
Are you ready for the deadliest news, issues, comments, and people? Well, on now is National Talk Black with Trendy Trev, going live from BBM through the National Indigenous Radio Service. Give us a call now, 1-800-422-416. National Talk Black with Trendy Trev.
Yes, a very good morning, you daily mob. Welcome back to your daily program, National Talk Black. It is I, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev Murray from Macquarie, live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns on Yidinji Country, BBM Bumbarrip Media, 98.7 FM. And we go across the nation thanks to NERS, National News Radio Service. You can have your say by calling us on that daily number, 1-800-422-416. Now, new diabetes online modules offer diabetes support and education. We're going to catch up a yarn now with Deanne Minicon, Diabetes Australia Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander Engagement Manager. On the line, Deanne, good morning, sis. How are you?
Oh, good morning, Trev. Good, thank you. How are you?
I'm well. Thank you very much for coming to the program. Before we start, sis, let the mob know who your mob, where you're from.
Oh, look, I'm both Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander. So on my dad's side, it's all Goringoring, and up north, it's Mobiag, Darnley Island.
Yeah, beautiful. Thank you, sis. So talk about this online module, a fantastic tool to support our mob with diabetes, yes?
Yes, absolutely. Look, we've only recently launched the Diabetes E-Learning, Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander Health module on our National Diabetes Services Scheme website.
Mm-hmm.
That was just done on the 18th of March. We're really excited about the opportunity to have this tool available for Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander health workers and practitioners to learn more about diabetes.
So it's an educational tool, support tool as well, in regarding helping our mob deal with our mob and support them, support our mob with diabetes.
Yeah, absolutely. Look, it's a very interactive type of module. It's very foundational, basic information about diabetes, but it's very culturally appropriate as well. They give interactive stories and activities. It's really easy to learn. Look, I've done it myself, and I'm not a diabetes expert.
Mm-hmm.
And it's fun, and it is very interactive and very easy to go through.
So good for our mob to go online, and for all health workers, Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander health workers, to use this tool, yes?
Yeah, absolutely. It's only 10 hours all up, but it's flexible, so you don't have to do the 10 hours all in one go.
Okay.
You can take your time to do this online module. There's 9 modules in those, and a lot of them is around the introduction, you know, goes into the history about why diabetes is so prevalent in our communities.
Yes.
Talks about the types of diabetes that are there, what we can do to try and either prevent or maintain, you know, that healthy lifestyle. Talks about glucose monitoring, glucose levels, really, and the medications that you do as well. So really good modules around just the basic stuff.
Well, as I said, repetition is the mother of all schools, and here's another tool that we can use to empower our Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander health workers, but also support our mob with diabetes.
Yeah, absolutely. Look, the National Association of Aboriginal and Islander Health Workers Practitioners, which is NATSIWEP, short,
yes,
they've actually endorsed this training. So
good.
For those members that are health worker practitioners, they can actually get up to 10 continuing professional development points if they do the online module as well. So there's that bit of incentive there to do the training.
Yeah, good. Fantastic. So this is fantastic what Diabetes Australia are doing and putting it out there across the country. And look, we are in the 21st century and using the tools that are available, which is fantastic for our mob. And look, it could also inspire and motivate our health workers to delve into a career pathway in the diabetes world, yes?
Yeah, absolutely. Look, we are short on diabetes educators, and particularly credentialed diabetes educators that can really support our communities out there, you know, our people that are living with diabetes. We know we've got high rates, but we know we've got a wonderful workforce that can support that as well.
Yeah.
So this is a great start to that.
Right, a great tool. Thank you very much, my sister, for yarning. Look, big shout out to your team, your family. Stay safe, Deanne, and we'll yarn soon, sis.
Thank you very much.
Take care, Dad. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Adelian there, Deanne Minicon, and she's the Engagement Manager, Diabetes Australia, Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islanders for Diabetes Australia, and talking about the new online module which offers diabetes support and education for Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander health workers and practitioners, and they can access the module anytime. So there it is, UMOB, get educated, and like I said, we are students for life, and do utilise the tools that are available and helping our mob. So there it is. Have you saying Yana Strong? Add to the conversation here, National Talk Black. Deadly number here, 1-800-422-416.
I'm a long way away from my country. It's a long time since I've reappeared. It's a feeling I feel when you're close on the wheel, and I'm missing the touch of your hand. It's no good, this feeling of sorrow. Just go out and face it alone. And I'm waiting tonight, watching the night, and I'm thinking of just going home. Off your burdened illusions. Shake off your dreams that weigh down. You can follow your dreams, but it's not like it seems, 'cause your heart will just turn you around. You can follow, but it's not like it seems, 'cause your heart will just turn you
Gimme, gimme, yeah. My name's Jared Harbrow from the Gold Coast Suns. You're tuned in to National Talk Black with Trendy Trek.
1-800-422-416.
Family, where would we be without them?
Where would we be without no family? Beside of me, ever ready to ride with me. Through the darkest day, the hardest time, you were there for me.
with you, even when you're gone.
Where would we be without your family? Beside of me, ever ready to ride with me. Through the darkest day, the hardest time, you were there for me. So I'll be there for you.
My family makes me the true definition of who I'm supposed to be. Taking a whole lot of time, but now I finally realize that I'll be nothing here without my family by my side. My life is based on how I grow to be a man I'm meant to be and always gonna be. My first priority, my family. So without my family, where would I be? I'll be standing in the corner in the middle of the street to take it. Follow on track, stay on track, strong to survive. I live like this, cause why? I'm happy as alive.
Where would we be without no family? Beside of me, ever ready to ride with me. Through the darkest day, the hardest time, you were there for me. So I'll be there for you.
My family be with me through thick and strong. They the ones that keep me going on. I take them wherever I go. True to my heart, no matter where I go, strolling on, strolling on. I even want the one that's not here by my side. May peace be with you, family, true ties. I love you till the day that I die. Through the struggle, through the pain, through the strain, down and out, happy and proud. Without you, my family, there would never be a me. There would never be a you. There would never be a we. Where would we be without no family?
Where would we be? That no family beside of me, ever ready to ride with me. Through the darkest day, the hardest time, you were there for me. So I'll be there for you. Where would we be now? Where would we be? Where would we be now? Where would we be? Where would we be now?
G'day, you mob. This is Tanya Kernaghan with Trendy Trev, and you're tuned in to National Talk Black.
Call us now at 1-800-422-416.
Yes, a very good morning, you Daily Mob. Welcome back to your daily program, National Talk Black. It is I, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev Murray from Macquarie, live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns on your Dingy Country. That's BBN Bumper Rip Media, 98.7 FM. And we go across the nation thanks to the NERS National Digital Radio Service. Have your say in Yarn Up Strong, 1-800-422-416. All right, now with CIAF about to hit us, Cairns Indigenous Art Fair. And no pandemic is going to stop us. It's fantastic. Looking forward to be out and about and see a deadly artist in action. And regarding the model fashion parade, Queensland experienced Indigenous models to mentor newcomers. And to talk about that space, we're going to catch over yarn there with Sister Lynelle Flinders, seasoned fashion designer and first-time fashion performance curator. Lynelle, good morning, sis. How are you?
I'm very well. I am awesome. It's a beautiful day.
Yes.
Good morning to everybody.
Thank you, sis, for very much for coming to the program. Before we start, let the mob know who you mob, where you're from.
I'm from Starkey River area, Darkwater. Mm. And that's on my father's side.
Yep.
Yep.
It looked fantastic and look a beautiful footprint there. And talking about the space you're working in, and look, it just, how you say, working smart, working smarter, not harder. When you look at beautiful models go before us, they become mentors for the newcomers, yes?
That's right. And look, we have a group of homegrown experienced models here.
Yes.
In Cairns. You know, I can't stress enough how beautiful our girls are from this area. And, you know, when they come, they step up to the plate.
They do.
I can't stress that one enough. They step up to the plate when they're asked anything. And to mentor the younger ones coming through, you can't get any better.
And, look, doors can open up if for their future pathway. if to become a model, or just their confidence in life and to work as a team and, you know, to share our culture, our beauty to the world. Yeah.
Yeah, look, all the above. It's thinking positive about yourself. And I'm not only just talking about young girls. Mm-hmm. I'm talking about older women as well.
Yes.
Who have, you know, some, you know, war stories to tell.
Mm.
But, you know, get out there and have a go. You think you got it and you want to just move in a new direction and do something with your life.
Mm.
You know, come along, put the application in. Who knows?
Sure, exactly. And beauty in the eyes of the beholder. Have confidence in yourself and there's beauty within you. Well, you said have a go. Chuck the iron in the fire and enjoy the journey, so to speak.
That's right. And, you know, who knows where it can go from there? If you want to take it further, okay, we'll look into something to try and get you further. You know, I'm there to help.
And what ages are we talking, sister? Are we talking male and females?
Male and females, unfortunately, it's from 18 years and up, only because, you know, the blue card thing and everything.
Sure, okay, yep.
So from 18 and up, males and females, there is a limited number this year for a call out for models. So if anyone is interested, please, you know, put your application in and it will be considered along with everybody else's.
Fantastic. Now, KIAF Cairns Indigenous Art Fair is an annual event and become world-renowned thanks to COVID-19. Has went online for the last couple of years, but we are now operating at the convention centre. Regarding the modelling fashion parade, when's that happening and where's that happening, sister?
Okay, so that'll be on the 7th and 8th. Of July at the Tanks.
At the Tanks.
Mm-hmm. We're back at the Tanks again in Tanks 3.
Okay.
We have a show on the Thursday, and that's for the, you know, families and friends
of the models
to come along and have a look. And then the Friday night is the two big shows.
Good. Fantastic. And how many models are we talking, Linnell?
So I only need 15 this year.
Okay. And so how many you got at the moment and how many are you looking for?
I'm still looking for a couple more girls.
Okay.
But don't let that discourage you if you think, no one put in, you know, too many put in. Please put it in. You never know.
Well, when you're putting your application in, you don't know how many other applications went in. So just do your bit.
That's
just
right.
Do your bit. Yeah. And your doors can open up for you. And when does it close off in regarding applications?
Next Tuesday.
Next Tuesday. All right. So there's a message out there for young brothers and sisters, all middle-aged brothers and sisters looking for female models for the KIAF Fashion Parade. And how do they put in, how do they get in touch with you?
So if they could, I think it was on Facebook.
Okay.
KIAF Facebook.
Under KIAF, Cairns Indigenous Art Fair, CIAF, KIAF, yep.
Yes, Facebook, there was a call out, the call out for models and the application was on there.
Yep.
Otherwise, email me at fashion@kiaf.com.au.
Okay, fashion at KIAF, CIAF.
Fashion,
KIAF, CIAF, one word?
Yep. .com.
.com.au. Lovely. Thank you very much. Linnell, good yarning with you. Good luck with it all. We'll be working closely with you guys, with Bumma Bipra Media, who work in partnership with our KIAF. So we'll be chatting very soon. And enjoy the journey there, my sister.
Oh, look, I will. I can't wait.
Too deadly. You take care.
You too. Thank you.
Bye-bye. Adela Yande, Linnell Flinders, her name is, and seasoned fashion designer and first-time fashion performance curator. So the Queensland Experience Indigenous Models to mentor newcomers. So if you're new to the game and you want to give it a shot, as Linnell said, put in your application, fashionkif.com.au, and put in the application, put it in, iron in the fire, see if it lights up. Enjoy the journey. There's mentors there to help you, guide you, and it could open up doorways. Even if you don't want to become a model, experience different things. That's what it's all about. And go a mile, see a mile. Have your say in Yarn Up Strong. Had the conversation here. National Talk Black, Too Deadly.
Talking about treaty, but us fly divided, we must unite as one. One bomb up of many tribes, we fought, we are the yellow, black, and red. And we mustn't let people dictate with all different kind of legislations. No way, no, no. Essentially, I envisage united black nations, that's what we must achieve. Before we go sell ourselves cheap for the greed and hunger of the Ghana, Bama fighting Bama, we must be smarter and come as one. Let's advance our black Australia. We've got to fight now for our rights. And if we want the rights, we must unite first together as one. Our forces will be stronger as one. And better the stands for our children. We must be strong now. And don't you dare be ashamed, you're a black Australia. I'm singing for the Maoris, the Kuris, the Noongars, the Nungas, and the Palawa people. And the Flapper Torres Strait Bomber from the Northern Territory and the Central Blacklands. I'm singing for the Maoris, the Kuris, the Noongars, the Nungas, and the Palawa people. And the Flapper Torres Strait Bomber from the Northern Territory and the Central Blacklands. It's evident my people are still dying, and little brown baby skins are still crying for a brand new day. To be given that opportunity, it should be mandatory for them fly sitting up and them seats sure. Essentially, I envisage a health education of government worries will diminish for generations. See, autonomy will give us the chance to rise. And if we're working together as one, we'll devise the master plan. A treaty amongst black Australians. We've got to fight now for our rights. And if we want the rights, we must unite first together as one. Our voices will be stronger as one. And better the stands for our children. We must be strong now. And don't you dare be ashamed. Central Blacklands. I sing it for the Maoris, the Kuris, the Noongars, the Nungas, and the Palawa people. And the Papua Tau Strait Bama from the Northern Territory and the Central Blacklands. Yeah, but you know.
G'day, folks. Troy Cassidale here. You're with Trevor on National Talk Black. Don't move that dial.
Come on, drive it. Drive it like you stole it, son. Drive it.
Yes, a very good morning, you daily mob. Welcome back to your daily program, National Talk Black. It is I, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev Murray from Macquarie, live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns on Yidinji Country, as BBM Bummer Group Media, 98.7 FM. We go across the nation thanks to NERS, National News Radio Service. You can have your Sabre call us on that daily number, 1-800-422-416. All right, next segment, we've got Which Way Yarning, proudly sponsored by Pekoni. IGA, that's Brinsmead and Edmonton, and they give us a box of food here at Bummer Brippin Media, healthy living, healthy lifestyle message we deliver. So chew on a banana rather than a Mars bar, you mob. Too Deadly, looking, we're going to catch up and have a yarn there with PLO, Police Liaison Officer, Stephen Grant, and he brought bodyguard with him, that's Peter Ingram. He's a project manager, a protective services, a First Nations unit, and talk about that fantastic new program. Gentlemen, good morning, how are we?
Good morning, Trevor, how are you?
Good,
yeah,
good.
Good, thanks, Trevor.
Fantastic. Just move a bit closer there, Pete, to your microphone okay. There. Start with you, Steve. Who your mob, where you from, brother?
Yeah, Trev, proud Jidwell man from the wet tropics of the Tully, Cardwell, rainforest areas.
Yes.
Yes, so it's we've been getting a lot of rain down there.
With your uniform, got to go on big gumboots there, brother.
Yeah, that's correct.
What a town in Australia.
That is correct.
Beautiful. And a very good morning to you, Peter Ingram, Project Manager, Protective Services First Nations Unit. How are you?
I'm good, thanks.
Good. Where do you stem from?
To be here.
Yeah, thank you.
Where am I from?
Yes.
Yeah, New South Wales, all over the place. And then out of the ACT, went down and joined the Australian Federal Police and did 30 years down there and spent my last bit of time in Brisbane.
Okay. So. The last 30 years, down, like you're just putting on a kettle, having a cup of tea. 30 years. Fantastic. And now you're the Project Manager, Protective Services, First Nations Unit. Tell us about this fantastic unit and about working with the community.
Yeah, well, thanks, Trevor. And as I said, it's great to be here with yourself and Steve and be invited, so I appreciate that. Well, how this came about, just by way of background, so Protective Services are part of the Queensland Police, and they came across from what was called State Government Security in September 2016 and have been integrated into the police ever since. So what our functions are, while we're not police officers, we're part of the police, but our members become sworn under the State Buildings Protective Security Act. So they've got certain powers, including to ask for identification up to detaining, but not the official arrest powers of police.
Sure.
And they look after state government buildings and infrastructure. So what we do, we have about 400 officers around the state, and as I said, they look after government infrastructure. And what we found, Steve, was happening, we've got great services out there, but some of the remote Indigenous communities, we subcontract our services to private industry. And while they do a great job, we found that there were some shortfalls there. And one of those being that the fly-in, fly-out workers didn't necessarily engage with the community. And what that meant is, you know, being in a remote community and Indigenous, and I'm not Indigenous, so I can't speak for that, but sure. I can just see what I see from the outside.
Yes.
That engagement piece was really important, having that community respect, being there on the ground with the people and actually having them engaged in the work that we're doing.
Sure.
So we started a pilot project on Palm Island around this, Trevor, and what that was to do was to see whether doing things differently would actually change our ability to not only have good services in the protective security space,
sure,
but also
engagement on picking
engagement
up
on the island. As you well know, you and Steve, it's been a fractious relationship between the people on the island and the police for a long time. So that was one of the drivers.
So we're talking about recruiting locals.
Yeah,
in this project. Yep.
So from the community for the community is our catch cry.
Beautiful.
So, so we looked at it. We went through a process of saying, okay, so what do we need to do? Let's keep this initiative moving forward. So let's go out there and try and recruit, train and engage
local people
from the island and give them every opportunity to become part of the police service, which gives a number of benefits. It gives employment.
Yep.
So they're getting a relatively good wage in terms of what others are getting on the island. It's significant. Then obviously that goes back into their households, back into the community.
Sure.
Our whole program was based around literacy around their financial ability, their health and welfare, and their physical capabilities, as well as,
so it's like life skills as well on the job.
Certainly, and it's an important part of building that community police engagement, as well as protecting the infrastructure, which is job's all about.
So, how many communities is this project operating in at the moment?
At the moment, it's only in Palm Island. So, we started the project there in 2019. The whole process in October 2020, we engaged seven local, what we call senior protective security officers.
All amongst COVID-19.
I don't want to go there again, but it did push the project back a bit.
Sure.
But out of those seven people that we engaged and recruited, engaged and trained, or trained and engaged, they're all still with us.
Okay, lovely.
Which is a fantastic...
Seven taken on board back in 2019 and still with us doing the job.
Still with us doing the job. And I was on Palm Island last week and having a bit of a yarn with them, and they're all going well and enjoying it. And
fantastic. Well, it gives them, like I said, a job. It gives them status. It gives them, you know, like a sense of achievement, you know, all the above. So it's good bridge builder, isn't it?
Yeah, without a doubt, Trevor. And as I said, being back on the island, I hadn't been back there for about 12 months last week, and people coming up to me just off the street and go, oh, glad to see you back, Peter. Are you recruiting again? Are we going to get
pick
some
me,
jobs?
Pick me. Pick me.
And we do. We have...
Male and females?
Both male and female, yeah, which is great.
Mm.
And
they wear the uniform as such?
They wear the uniform.
Not police uniform?
No, it's the same as...
Protective services.
But it's the same, yes. Yeah, protective services one. So yeah. It's called looking to the stars, or reaching for the stars, which is an endorsed QPS uniform.
Good affirmation.
So they wear that. Mm. I said we house them now in the police station, so they're in amongst the police.
Mm-hmm.
They've got their own mobile patrol capability, so we've got a protective services ute for them to do.
Yes.
And so we're actually out of the seven, we want 16 positions there, so we're going in Palm Island and going to roll it out across the state.
Good, fantastic. Tell us some of the work that they do in regard to their community. You know. Are we talking about booking somebody going through a red light? Or
No. And this is a thank you for that question, because this is a really important question.
How far do their authority goes?
Yeah. So while they have certain powers, and that's legislated powers, so they have, as I said, power to stop people, ask for their name and address and certain other things. If there's people on state government premises like school after hours
and
not supposed to be there, they can demand they leave the premises. If the person doesn't, they can detain them. As I said, that's a little bit different from arrest, but they hand them over to police. Mm. So we train them in all their powers and what that looks like. But what their functions are, we're a fee-for-service organisation. So the clients, and our biggest clients are state government clients of education, justice, and health, and they look after... premises
buildings
like
and
that.
Premises and what have you. Yeah.
Then we invoice
security
them.
Guard, so to speak.
Yeah, invoice for the services.
Okay.
Now what we bring is a little bit different of those powers. Our people are trained in use of force, so they know they have handcuffs, they have batons, but there's no chemical munitions or lethal force capability. So it's lower level, but they work closely to the police. So they've got police radios. They're on the same channels. So there's a lot of that interoperable capability with the police. And what they do, they not just, I won't say they're just security guards, because they're much more than that.
Yeah. And they're not there to arrest or push authority. The laws are there to keep us all safe.
Correct.
Exactly.
And let's just all abide by the laws.
Exactly. Exactly, Trevor. And this is the great thing we're seeing. When we're seeing fly in and fly out workers, like these youth Indigenous youth crime on Palm Island was a big issue for the island, and they didn't really know how to stop that. And one of the things that we've found is one of the great outcomes of this project is youth crime reduced up to 60-70%, because they know the person that's the security officer there knows them and knows their family.
Exactly.
And
exactly, fantastic, you know. And if they got a cousin out there or a brother out there who's been in trouble before and he's about to do something, brother, don't do it.
Yeah.
Move on. Because he knows him, yeah? Like the stripes of the tiger, so to speak.
Exactly,
cuss, please,
right.
Cuss. Not today. Not on my watch, bruh. Please.
Yeah, exactly right. And you know, that's you've hit the nail on the head, because, you know, a fly-in, fly-out worker that's not part of the community just
doesn't pay packet. In
doesn't
and out.
Have that level of
no
engagement.
Passion. Yep, exactly.
And doesn't have that, exactly, the passion's the word.
Yeah, exactly.
So it's we're finding some really good benefits. And then we're finding a lot of those other things, like police are starting to understand that, the community starting to understand they're not police, but they're building that bridge between the police and them. So instead of just going to the police or having a fear from going to the police, they'll go and talk to these people and go, hey, what's going on?
It cuts graffiti on buildings. It cuts, you know, being at a place where you shouldn't be at. It's after hours. It's closed. You're not supposed to be here. Yeah, just simple rules like so. And the fact that you're running only in Palm Island, then you're behind the eight ball.
Yeah,
kick your game up, Pete.
Yeah.
This is a fantastic project.
Yes,
and it should go, you know, all guns blazing.
Well, look, and this is where we want to go to, Trevor. And thanks for slapping me around the head on that one, because my bosses are giving it to me at the other end.
Yeah, my radio station now, brother. I'm pushing authority here.
No, I get it. Yeah. Anyway, no, but look, it was what we wanted to look at all the points of failure, and this is another important point of the project when we started up, Trevor. We didn't want to just be one of these projects that here we go, we're going to give you this, and then we slap something on the ground that's slapshot, it's not quite up to standard, and then we walk away from it. If it doesn't work, we walk away as it doesn't.
So our communities have the so-called hierarchies, the authorities coming in with the plan of attack, and we've got the answer. In actual fact, it comes from the inside out.
Yeah.
And you're bringing something that the community engaged in because they can apply for the position. It's from the inside out. It's a smart process.
No, you've hit the nail on the head, and that was really important. So we took a lot of time to do the engagement. Like when we say we started this project in around March, April 2019, and we didn't get people on the ground to October 2020, people are going, well, that's a long time. So, but it's not. Because it's found to be working now.
Sure.
So for me, it was important. There was a couple of things that we looked at the points of failure, and we got those right, and we understood them.
Go through your teething and then fix up the potholes, so to speak.
For me, it was me understanding, because I was going to be the major training provider in this for protective services. I was a major trainer. I had to get my head around Indigenous culture, what that looked like.
Sure, and cultural awareness.
I brought mentors on board to give me that understanding and sat with me and worked me through things. So that was important. Then the second part was making this sustainable. Once again, Palm Island had a lot of, hey, we're going to throw this project at you. Here's a bit of money, but it's not sustainable. So we wanted this to be sustainable. We put in an evaluation review process from the University of Queensland, and within the QPS has an evaluations unit. Yep. So we completely evaluated over 12 months to look at all those things, the drops in crime, the community engagement, the welfare of our people.
All the percentages, the surveys and what have you.
And it's all coming up really. Thumbs up. It's outstanding. It's awesome. And I've worked, Steve, as I said, Steve. He's Trevor.
Thank you.
Brother.
I've worked all over the world with the Federal Police. I spent 3 years in the Solomon Islands. I spent a couple of years. I was based in Thailand. I worked the whole of Southeast Asia doing capability and capacity building projects.
Yes.
And I've never been so excited about something in my life. And
well, and you're here on your grounds.
Yeah.
You know, on the Big Island. Yeah, Australia. That's your home. You know, and like working with our mob, like I said, and it's for our communities. To see the blue uniform, it's a lighter look now.
Yes.
In regards to what we're doing with something like this, you know.
Yeah, without
it's
a doubt.
Yeah, no, like I said, a bridge builder, and it's educating. I mean, like for some of the brothers and sisters out there who are anti blue uniforms, but when they're in trouble, who they call blue uniform? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And let's just build that bridge and make it a two way street.
Yeah, Trevor. I think there's a bigger piece to that. I think the police are starting to understand, and just not the Queensland Police. This is all. Police forces around Australia. You know, I've done a lot of engagement with WA in the NT with big Indigenous population. And the feeling is, you know, we've done it this way, say the Queensland Police, 151 years old or whatever. We've done it. It's not working. We've got to do things differently. And it's programs
things don't
like
change
this.
And things don't change.
That's exactly right. And people can't do what they can't see. And we're putting it out there so they can see it. They want to be engaged with us. Good. And I think that's a really important thing in bridging that divide between the police and the community.
So next question, what's next? Who's next after Palm Island?
After Palm Island, well, we're meeting with the National Indigenous Australian Agency. They're giving us a lot of support and the Department of Education, Skills and Employment and the old DATSIP, whatever that's called now. It's grown by about four letters.
Acronyms everywhere.
Yeah, but... But we're certainly, Doomadgee has certainly put their hand up to say, yep, we'd like to have a crack out there. Good. After we get Palm Island up. We're discussing today.
So you literally have to do like a presentation, a spiel on the so-called communities, the mayors and what have you.
Yes, well,
this is what we're doing.
Nice segue. Yeah. After this, we're having a meeting with the Department of Employment, Skills and Education around putting this into Yarrabah.
Okay.
And then I'm going to present this afternoon to the local government of Queensland Indigenous Leaders Conference on the program, what we're doing, why, and trying to get their buy-in and engagement, and hopefully get some of those in the margins discussions around when we can get to their communities.
Love your work, Pete. I think it's fantastic, and look, it's a proven success in regards to Palm Island, and that is the basic, the foundation of building something big here across this state.
Yeah, yeah.
If not the country.
No, without a doubt, because we're looking, we've got, as an organisation, the government signed off on this, the ability, we've created 113 new, well, repurposed, not created new jobs, because they're fly-in, fly-out workers already, but we've repurposed them, and there's we'll be going out to do the recruitment piece to fill, as I said, over 110 jobs, which is awesome for Indigenous people in Queensland.
Fantastic. Just on that point, Peter, I've got a question for you. With the process of the recruiting, is that based in Brisbane, and what time frame it is?
No, we'll be going out to the communities, and we'll be working with the community development programs out there, and they will do a lot of the recruiting for us, and we'll sit down with them and work through what we need to do.
Good.
And one of those things at the moment is working through that's a culturally appropriate and culturally sensitive recruitment and training program for Indigenous people in remote communities, instead of going, hey, this is the way we do it, you're going to do it our way. I don't want that.
Sure, exactly.
It doesn't work.
And empowering the applicants as well, and giving them confidence in doing that, and we're having a conversation. Yep. You know what I mean? And if they're feeling at ease in the interview process, you know, this looks good, and I think I can do this, and I want to learn, and let's do it.
And look, a little bit of a story. We had that with one of our applicants in Palm Island. He'd been through a few bits of the process, and then we were going to do a one-on-one interview, and he wasn't going to turn up. And one of the other applicants said to him, look, did you go and see Pete when he was there last time? No, I don't want to do this. I don't think I can do it. I'm not up to it. And just going to have a yarn with Pete. That's right. He'll work you through this. And we sat down. We had a yarn. We worked through it.
It wasn't an interview. It was just a yarn.
Yeah, exactly. And he got through at the end of it. And he goes, oh, shit, Pete. No, that was easier than I thought.
I'm going for your job, Pete. I'm fired up.
Yeah, your job's not hard. Anyone can do that. Well, and that was the beauty of it, that we did do a lot of work, both with our police psychologists and the community, and our liaison officers and mentors around what that should look like.
Yep.
We think we got it.
Beautiful. I think it's fantastic. Look, it's proven success in Palm Island. It's going great guns. So let's tackle the other communities. And you're out there doing the spiel now, so which is fantastic, doing the spiel here on National Talk Black. A big shout out. Thank you very much, Pete. Good, nice meeting you.
Yeah, you too, Trevor. Thanks.
Good to see you, my brother, as always.
Yes, you too.
And we'll yarn soon, and that's Which Way Yarning. Too deadly, gentlemen.
Thank you, Trevor.
Thanks, all right. Mate.
Beautiful yarn there with the boys in blue, or one blue, one half blue, because he's not actually an officer now. He's project manager for Protective Service First Nations Unit, and that's Peter Ingram and his bodyguard there, police liaison officer Stephen Brandt. Too deadly. That's Which Way Yarning. Stay tuned. Your daily program, National Talk Black, 1-800-422-416.